TV time machine, TV time machine, woo! TV time machine, TV time machine, TV time machine, TV time machine.
All right, all right, all right. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the TV Time Machine podcast. This guy's talking on, what the hell is this? he's in person studio now. You can talk at the same time?
Yeah.
All right. I'm Luis.
And I'm Adam.
And we love TV. You're still, what? You didn't?
It's fucked up.
We've been trying to get that in unison for like 15 episodes now. We just can't do it.
It's close.
Want to welcome our guest here?
Yeah, today we have Joshua Pallad, from stand-up comic, actor from New York City.
Nice.
He has a show called the Stizzy at the Producers Club, and he also became a producer on Roast Beef, which is a comic roast battle at Stand Up NYC. And he's the host of the podcast.
Co-host
with Kevin Sanchez of the Mac Almanac, which is
Mac Almanac, baby. Hi guys, how are you? Thanks for having me on.
Good. Thank you for being here. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
And, a fellow New Yorker is always nice to have around, especially. Yeah.
Where in New York City are you from?
I'm not from the city. My grandparents are 80 Avenue in the Bronx, but I grew up in Poughkeepsie. So I would be down with him all the time.
That's not New York.
I knew I was setting myself up for that.
I'm fucking.
I miss it. I know you.
You get a New York City pass because grandma lives.
No, he's being modest. He grew up off Broadway.
Ooh, is that right?
Who, him? Me? What do you
mean?
You grew up
off Broadway.
Well, he grew up with his parents working off Broadway.
Oh, yeah. My parents were Broadway thespians, and then they found religion, and then it got really boring around the house.
Oh, you see? That always ruins everything.
It does. It does.
No, so, I'm kidding.
I'm not. I mean, no offense to religious people, though. I don't want to.
Right. I'm not offended.
Well, speaking of religion, we thought we'd do an episode that was kind of a little taboo. Sex in television. You know, our whole show is about TV Time Machine's all about nostalgic television, but a lot of people don't talk about how taboo sex is in American television. You know, right. In France, I went to Montreal, Canada, and put on the TV in high school, and I was like, I don't think I need to leave the hotel room, guys. You guys go, I'm going to stay here. I'll leave a sock on the door, and you guys go out and have fun. They get away with a lot in Canada.
Especially France or Canada?
French Canadians, they get away with a lot in terms of what you can show on TV. So we thought it'd be fun to talk about sex in American television. How taboo Americans are. So yeah, Adam, what do you think?
Let's do it.
Let's go for it. This article is loosely based. You want to mention this article or just on your research?
I guess, but I didn't find many episodes in that article that were that.
Oh, okay. Well, Americans are uptight. They got the whole pilgrim thing going on.
Right.
Right now we have Baywatch. That was the sexiest thing growing up.
Hell yeah.
You know, the everyone running half naked at the beginning of the show. And then, of course, my parents would have HBO every once in a while. And then that show Real Sex was, remember Real Sex? Uh-huh. Was a hot topic.
I jerked off to all those things.
What was that?
I said I jerked off to all of those things.
I was like, did he say that?
Am I allowed to say these things? Do I have to be clean?
Not on this one, no. This is, we're going to give everybody auditory, at their own auditory discretion, right?
Okay, awesome. I mean, I don't want to pull you away from going somewhere, but my question is, do you recall the first TV character you masturbated to?
Huh. That's a really good question. I think there was this movie called, it was a movie though, but she was a character in Charles in Charge, Nicole Eggert, and the
two. Oh, fuck. Wow.
They did a movie called Blown Away. Do you remember that? The two Corys, and it was like a erotic thriller. And
I only remember the cover from working in the
big. Yeah, he was running away from it.
Yes, yeah.
That movie, yeah, yes. they both.
I never saw it. I just see the cover.
They shared Nicole Eggert in that movie, and it was, you know, for a young man of my stature, I thought that was pretty wild.
Comedy idea.
Yeah, it was these kids from TV suddenly in like this softcore porn.
Well, you know, she said that Charles was not only in charge, but also doing inappropriate things, unfortunately.
Oh, Scott Baio? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Recently, a couple of years ago, I remember it was in the news.
Yeah.
She mentioned he was inappropriate with her.
No, that really happened.
That was shit.
Yeah, he's over here laughing.
But honestly, basically everyone before 2005, completely inappropriate. We were all molesting each other. We were all touching each other in wrong ways. I don't know, Adam, do you remember your first bait material from?
Not a TV show. I mean, it was probably the MTV? Like a Prayer video.
Ooh. So all supermodels. That's really a way to set the bar high.
It was the mixed race couple thing that was
right.
Did it for me. Yeah,
really.
Because Adam was an African American man. That's where he saw himself.
How about you?
What about just because of my parents. Just because of my parents.
Right. I have no idea what that means. Why? Because of your parents?
My parents were in a mixed race. They were a mixed race couple. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
I never looked at my parents like that's the kind of shit I would.
No, that's not what it was. It was just, I don't know.
Ugh, that would turn me into a racist if my parents were mixed.
Yeah, I don't know. That's not what it was. Wow, that got really weird.
Wow. Hey, we are not here to kink shame. No kink shaming. Hey.
No, not at all.
What about you? What about your first experience with TV?
Chitara from the Thundercats.
Okay, so a little bit of...
You already talked about this, but...
Jesus, come on, but it's I could talk about her all day. They put the most beautiful... Completely naked, by the way. They just didn't grow... They didn't paint nipples and labia on her. But other than that, completely naked. Running around, gorgeous.
Yeah. And
So,
kind of a temptress.
Yeah, man. Yeah. My cat's looking at me funny. You know, I'm not interested in you.
Thundercats, yeah. Thundercats was kind of such a show for kids.
Yeah, it was.
And the G.I. Joe girls were.
Oh yeah, they always had like their buttons undone.
The one with the glasses, with the hornbill glasses, was really hot.
I saw they made a movie a couple years ago. I saw the original. They had some really. They looked pretty awesome, man. The one I saw was with Bruce Willis. Did you see that one?
Yes, that was part two. And The Rock was in it too, right? Wasn't he?
Yeah, he was terrible.
Yeah. They keep putting him in everything. He'd kick my ass in person, but he needs.
Of course, yeah. No, I would never say any of this to his face.
Rock, I love you. Melrose Place huge on
insane
kinky weird sex. He did some research on it. So that was Melrose Place was a spinoff of Beverly Hills 90210. Remember that one?
Yes, I do.
And Melrose Place always had people doing all kinds of weird. Mm-hmm. Shit.
Like what?
Well, Lisa Renner was in the shower of some guy that wasn't married to her.
No, I think it was Denise Richards.
That was Lisa Renner.
Oh, was it?
Okay. Harry Hamlin's ex-wife or current wife. This guy comes home with his hands all beat up.
His hands are in casts.
Yeah. And he hears someone taking a shower, so he goes to the shower.
It's his wife. He's like, I'm home, honey.
I'm home, honey. And it's like their neighbor.
Say, game time or something like that?
Yeah. And she's
game
like,
time.
It's not your wife. It's me. And you're going to give me a baby now. And then she pulls him in and just jumps on him.
Yeah.
He's just like, oh, well, I guess I can't.
Yeah. He's like trying not to get his cast wet. He's like, ugh.
This is on like normal, like.
Yeah. Couple. This is
broadcast
like 9
television.
O'clock, 9 o'clock, 1993.
Just like totally taking advantage of this poor guy because his hands weren't working. But yeah, that was one of
them.
And then what else?
I think I was 14 by that time. So like, I think that's when I used to stay up like super late to watch like Howard Stern and
see
like lunatics he'd have on the show that night. And then of course, you know, in the 90s, what followed that was Girls Gone Wild commercials for like an hour and a half. So that's that's like 2-3 sessions of masturbation, you know. I was
being staying up late with my buds, and that was at sleepovers and stuff. Girls Gone Wild commercials lasted like 15-20 minutes, you know. And then one time my buddy actually like called, got nervous and hung up, and I'm like, oh man, now they can see that you called out on that and the time, damn it. We are so screwed. But she never...
Wait, was it at your parents' house?
No, it was at his...
Oh, okay.
His parents were close to my parents. They're both in the religion, so it was equally as devastating.
So it was their fault.
It happened at their house. But their brother one time came to our house and stayed up late and called a 900 number and racked up like $600.
Really? Did you guys have to pay for it, or you were like, someone stole my phone?
I think they worked it out. There were some closed door sessions around the house, and I asked because, you know, we're all brothers. So his little brother was my best friend. I was like, "What happened with so and so?" He's like, "Yeah, he messed up at your house. He sinned." I'm like, "What? What does that mean?" And I was like 13. He goes, "Well, he stayed up and called a naughty number, and I think jerked off into your like family couch." Okay. So I never brought it up because I was like, man, I'm going to save this one.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to save this one. For, like, and I've seen every once in a while on Facebook. I'm still saving it. You know who you are. I'm not going to say it right now.
Well, yeah, you think your life is so good. I saw you by the beach. You don't remember jerking off into my couch, though, right?
It's just terrible. Like, you have these, you know, in a normal household, I mean, non-religious household, you have a bunch of pent-up teenage boys, but then you add religion on top of it, and you have MTV was another kind of side door into like getting your jollies off. MTV had Loveline.
Oh yeah,
Adam Carolla, mm-hmm. Dr. Drew,
you know. Oh yeah,
see that when it was just a radio show as like a really young kid.
Yeah,
I had no clue what they were talking about. I remember one caller, the first time I listened to it, and He was talking about putting peanut butter on candles and shoving them up his ass. And
peanut
butter. I was just like, what?
It's a waste of peanut butter.
Why would someone do that? I was like, this is a crazy show. I'm like, this is probably full of things that I'm like, why would someone do that? Yeah. I was like 8 or 9 years old. And we would like listen to it at, like when we're supposed to be asleep. Like we would have the radio like only like, you know how I had the notches? We'd have it on the first notch and we'd be like hovering next to the radio, listening, me, my older brother, and my younger brother.
It's crazy. You just reminded me, probably also one of the first things I jerked off to. When I was a kid, they used to have a radio show late at night called Dr. Ruth Westheimer, Sexually Speaking. Do you remember Dr. Ruth?
Yes, Dr. Ruth, yeah.
And people would call up and talk about their like genitals itching. I'd be like, oh shit, their genitals are itching. It's like, is that what's supposed to happen? I don't know.
She was way graphic.
Yes. Yeah,
she's still alive and she's still fucking graphic.
Still kicking. Yeah, she's still going. Ugh.
You remember the older lady?
My wife actually likes some of her videos. She like makes how-to videos on YouTube.
Oh,
Dr.
Man.
Ruth.
Oh my gosh.
Or she was watching them like 10 years ago or something like that.
There was another older lady, but she had a...
How to what? How to make me disgusted? Like, what are they?
I don't know. I don't know.
How to put on a condom.
I don't know these things.
And then the other classic thing was that what we would call... Well, obviously you don't. It's got like eight children. No, I'm not children shaming. Not children shaming.
10 and a half.
Yeah.
The squigglies. Remember the squigglies? You know what I'm talking about. It was the porn channel that was all squiggled out.
I got a story about that too.
Yeah, tell us.
I didn't get cable in my apartment when I was a kid until I think I was 13 or 14.
Which apartment? Your mom's or your dad's?
My dad always had cable. There was always cable.
Okay.
But never in my apartment. But like my close friend was, his father was a super, so we had every channel. So say that one more time.
This is your mom and stepdad's place?
No, it was with my mom before she moved in with my stepfather. So I was a young teenager. Okay. I was like 13, 14. And I begged for cable. I was like, come on, you know, like, please let me get cable. And they gave me cable. And within the first 24 hours, the temptation to press the authorization button was too strong for me. So for people who are listening who don't know, or if for some reason we have younger listeners, you used to have on your cable box a little red button. And on the porn channel, you'd have to press off, A-U-T-H. And if you press the off button, you could then see the pornography. And I think I was, it used to be you could just go back and forth on the station and you'd be able to like make out a breast or some vagina, you know? But it wasn't enough. And like the temptation got the worst of me and I pressed that off button. You know, and it's under my fucking mom's name. And I think I like jerked off real quick. And then I called her up crying. I was like, I don't know what happened. I did it by accident.
I did something similar.
I saw something I don't think I'm supposed to, Mom.
Yeah, my parents. There
you go. You just played dumb.
I played that I'm your son is challenged and I made a mistake. And she came home and she called Cablevision in front of me and she was like, my son made a mistake. You didn't mean to masturbate.
Didn't mean to. Yeah. Oh man. The memories.
Oops, I did it again.
Could you imagine if it was that readily available? If Pornhub was available when we were 13, 14? My God.
Well, I don't know if Adam told you this, but my father owned a strip club when I was a kid.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so it was more than readily available. It was just I was part of my life.
I hear you. Wow, that's different.
Yeah.
You too, huh?
Yeah,
his dad too. Yeah.
Oh yeah, a lot of being too. Wow. Well, that's a curveball. You don't hear that much.
Some of my youngest memories before my father had a strip club, he had nightclubs. It used to be just regular dance clubs, you know, but discotheques is what they used to call it. But his friends were all strip club owners. So some of my youngest memories was my father taking me when I must have been like 4 or 5 years old with him to like Times Square area. Cause I can remember what it looked like. It's because, you know, if you go to Times Square now, there's maybe one or two porn stores there. The rest of it's bullshit. It's like tourist stores, you know, Chipotle and shit. Back then, it was nothing but porn. It was pornography everywhere. You'd walk around in Times Square, and you would skate all over the place on the cement. There was an inch and a half of cement covering the entirety of Times Square. So I have memories of him carrying me through these, like, seedy strip clubs to see his friends.
Yeah, Times Square was like that. When did that start changing?
When Giuliani became mayor.
Wasn't it? I feel like it wasn't until the early aughts, though, because in the 90s it was still like that. It was still the red light district.
Yeah.
By the time Giuliani left, pre-9/11, the place became Hershey's and Macy's. It was all commercial. He completely changed it. The way he did it is he changed zoning laws. So they just couldn't do it without basically like my father's strip club. What Giuliani did was he enforced a law that said 70% of the strip club floor had to be a different business. That's why when you go to strip clubs in New York City, they have a giant sushi spot and a restaurant inside the club because they had to build back then to abide by the laws. I don't know if it's the same now, but that's how that all started. I was like, who the hell wants to go to the fucking strip club and eat sushi?
Yeah, not ideal. Not ideal at all. Oh, I did not know that. One of the shows.
Yeah, he was a tyrant, Giuliani.
Oh yeah. So speaking of the city, Sex and the City. You ever watch that one?
Yes, I've been forced to watch that a few times.
I've never seen many of those episodes. Adam says that show got a little.
Cool. I've seen very little of it. I feel like any time I turned it on or. It was turned on in my presence. There was always some weird sex act happening.
Yeah. HBO.
Well, I heard a rumor, I don't know if it's true or not, that originally Sex and the City was written about gay men. Yeah. And that all those characters were men originally, but they didn't want to put it out like that when they sold them the script. So they changed all the characters for women.
That makes sense.
Wow. So it was men talking about men instead of women talking about men.
Right. Because women, I mean, listen, I think the portrayal of women was accurate to a degree. I think those women, I've met a few of them in my life. Mm-hmm.
The upper east side.
100%, yeah. Should I be doing this? I was telling Kevin the other day, we were leaving a comedy club and we saw like a group of them. And I looked at Kevin and I went, "Tell me you love me." I was like, "Stop. Tell me you love me." I was like, "I don't love you. Tell me you love me. Tell me you love me." And I'd heard that before.
Yeah. Weeds was another one that you talked about. That had some weird. There was housewives selling weed back in the early 2000s.
I remember Weeds. Yeah, she was cool. I liked her.
She was always getting it.
She was always getting
having it. Sex in the alley and so, weird shit.
Yeah, alleyways and.
Yeah, closet. Those that's back when weed was still illegal everywhere.
Yeah,
kind of.
Yeah,
because that show wouldn't work today. They would do it now. They'd be like, "What? What is she? She just has paranoid schizophrenia. Why is she running away from everyone?"
Now it's got to be
after her.
Now it would have to be meth, but that's already been done. Breaking Bad, so it'd be heroin. Yeah. Actually, Weeds did have heroin in it. Remember? She like store heroin for half a season.
Yeah.
So that show wouldn't work.
I agree with you. It's time for new drugs.
Yeah,
something stronger.
But Breaking Bad did have an awkward sex.
Oh yeah. So
the pilot. Did you ever watch that show?
I never. I didn't make it through the pilot.
Oh okay.
Not your cup of tea.
I know it's a wonderful show because you know the people speak, but I just. Something has it. I don't get grabbed right away, and I don't sink into it. I didn't start watching The Sopranos until like season 3, and it's one of the best shows ever. In fact, I made my girlfriend, who's not from America, watch it with me. She was trying to force me to watch telenovelas, which are just fucking awful and easily predictable. We started watching telenovelas, and I was like, I can't watch any more of this. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. She's like, how do you know what's going to happen? I was like, because it's fucking predictable. I was like, watch, you ready? That guy's going to die. She's like, really? I'm like, yup. And I go, guess what? She's like, what? Next week he's going to be alive. She's like, really? And then it would happen. And then she'd be like, did you watch this before? So I made her watch Sopranos with me. And she loves it, you know? So yeah.
Sopranos went there with the sex, especially the... Every once in a while, especially with Tony and all the women he was hooking up with. Mm-hmm. Juliana Margulies. I mean, Rosanna, didn't he ever get a cat at one point?
I don't know. Some of those Tony sex scenes were kind of awkward.
He's a legend, man. I love Jason Gandolfini, man. You know why? Because it's one of the first times. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Go ahead.
You can't take that away from him.
Yeah.
But he's a legend. Like.
Oh, yeah. I'm so happy his son, you know, they're coming out with the Saints of Newark.
Yeah.
And his son is going to play a younger Tony, which is fucking amazing. Great. And the kid looks great in the trailer. It's meant to be, man.
Yeah. Looks just like him.
It looks just like, and you know what? I was telling my girlfriend, I was like, you know, like if Tony was still alive, his son might have not done this film. You know, I can't live up to my dad. And, but he took it. Actually, I'll show you. It's on my wall right here. I'll show you where I got my girlfriend.
Ross and David Cross might not have even made the film.
There's this artist on Instagram called Retro Gimmick, and he makes these like 1980s blister pack toys. So this one I got for her birthday because she loves Tony Soprano now.
Yeah.
It's Tony's duck.
Oh, nice. Tony's is that retro?
Yeah, it's retro gimmick.
Yeah, those guys are great.
Fucking awesome.
Those ducks in his swimming pool, right?
Yeah, yep.
He loved animals.
First he wanted to get rid of him, and then he didn't want, he wanted everyone to leave him alone.
He was my fucking duck.
Yeah. Little loose in the old medicine cabinet.
Yeah.
You don't want to get on his back side.
Who, Tony?
Oh, Tony, yeah. He was...
Do you think that's who he was in real life?
No. I think James was We both worked.
He definitely wasn't like that.
He was a sweetheart, right?
Yeah, he was.
We both worked on the.
He was a man for the people.
Last episode of The Sopranos, we were on that. I was only as a extras casting guy, and he was a props guy.
No, I was a
PA.
Gosh, I was a talent PA.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard a rumor.
Just to work on it.
That's awesome. Did you talk to him at all?
I knew someone who could get me on it. A friend knew the key PA, and so they were able to get me on. I didn't talk to him, but I watched him sign autographs for people for like 2 hours or something.
Yeah, loving it too, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a sweet guy. I heard a rumor that he threatened. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
The only ones telling him to stop were the producers.
What, signing? Of course, yeah.
He would have kept going.
Of course.
Until everyone had a signature, you know?
I love it. I heard a rumor that he threatened, I think, Harvey Weinstein for one of the girls, that like he harassed somebody.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
There was this young lady that came by the casting office once and asked me for James's information. And I said, I don't have his information. I have his assistant's information.
Right.
She was a sweetheart. She goes, he promised me all this stuff. And I was like, I don't think I'm gonna, man. But it turns out that she was actually a friend of his from my childhood. And I'm like, why are you coming to the casting office? That's weird.
She thinks that's where they keep the actors when we're not acting.
Yeah, she was such a sweetheart and very convincing, but in that field, you meet so many. We had people coming.
So many people saying so many things.
Yeah, this one extra would come in and say that he's got a Russian mafia Sopranos in the works, and we're all like, yeah, okay, cool.
Right.
I'm going to hire you guys to do my casting for me. Okay, cool. Yeah, can you leave now?
Sad. So you guys gonna hook me up with that guy's number or what?
It's coming.
It has great exposure, I heard. Great exposure.
Hey, did you ever watch Entourage? Were you an Entourage fan?
I like the show. I don't like that they did the whole thing about being from Queens, because the show is really about Wahlberg and he's from Boston.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm from the Boulevard, Queens Boulevard. I live off Queens Boulevard. And let me tell you something. What Queens Boulevard is really called is the Boulevard of Death.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
No.
It's called the Boulevard of Death because when I was a kid, basically Queens Boulevard is like a highway that runs through Queens, okay, through residential neighborhoods. And when I was a kid, there was no metal barriers. There was no speed traps. People would fly 60, 70 miles an hour. And people were dying on like a monthly basis. Like up and down Queens Boulevard when I was a kid, flowers here, flowers there. So it's known as the Boulevard of Death. Now it's easy. They made little safety barriers. They go, do, it's time for you to cross now. You know, so people are safe.
Yeah.
I have PTSD from it. I'm sorry.
Thanks for sharing. I didn't know that. Queens Boulevard was that reckless. I think that's weird. You're right. You bring up a good point. Wahlberg is not from New York, so why did they? I guess they wanted to differentiate it, right?
Probably didn't want too much about him.
Even though his friends that had the same friends were in the show. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know about Wahlberg. I like Donnie Wahlberg.
Boston's not a glamorous place to be from.
Yeah.
If you had an entourage, would Adam be in your entourage?
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah, we would set it in Poughkeepsie. Though. We'd be from Poughkeepsie. Yeah.
Okay, so the next question is, may I also be in the entourage?
Of course. You can totally be in our entourage. We need two more people, right? Make it five. Oh. Is it five?
It's five.
Yeah.
I've barely seen my
son. Yeah, and one of them has a brother, so he has got like 10 brothers to pick from. We'll have to get one of your brothers, and then we'll get some random person that likes to drive us around. That's a total bit.
So, yeah. I'm sorry to bring it back. So, you guys were talking about sex on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how it's evolved over the years. Do you know that, like, in the beginning, how the scandalous part of it was, like, they couldn't even put a husband and wife in the same bed. Yep. On the Lucy Ball show, they used to have two beds.
Separate, yeah.
They slept in separate beds.
Yeah. She was the one that pioneered pushing them together.
Too. No, Ozzy and Harriet were.
Really?
But that's because they were married. That was the only reason your networks allowed it. Ozzy and Harriet were the first on-screen couple to share a bed on TV.
Lucy and Dizzy weren't married, right?
They were married, and so they eventually let them do it, too.
Wow.
Ozzy and Harriet. Gosh, what was the show called?
Ozzy and Harriet.
Ozzy and Harriet show, yeah. I thought it was had their last
very
name.
Very clean show.
Yeah, but they were in bed together, which was scandalous and taboo. Wow. Yeah.
I think Lucy and Dizzy were the first ones to kiss, too.
They were. They had that. There.
She got pregnant during one of the seasons, and they hid her pregnancy. They would shoot around it. They would do a video from the waist up. They would shoot her like behind something to hide when she was pregnant.
And then she probably fought that too, because
they did that with they did that with somebody else on a show recently.
I think she wanted it though that way.
They should do that if you just get fat. They just hide your fatness behind things.
I like that. Yeah.
Just get a clause in your contract. You're like, listen, if you get fatter, 50 pounds plus, we're going to put you behind objects.
Yeah, we're going to put the garbage can here. Your desk, you'll always be sitting at a desk eating.
Listen, I used to be a giant fat guy. When I would go out and sit at the bar, I would like frame myself. I was like, all right, let me hide a little bit behind this jukebox right here. Let it hide the back fat a little bit like that.
Yeah, you got to be strategic, you know?
Of course, man. It's all a play. We're all just doing a play.
Yeah, it's all
live feed.
Yeah.
Right.
All appearances. Right?
There's no sex on TV.
I wonder, I'm sure, that's got to be hard, though, acting in those scenes and trying not to have your body react to it, you know? Like, that's got to be difficult.
So most of the cast from Melrose talked about how they were trying not to laugh most of the time.
It's, yeah, not good.
During their sex scenes, because they were all friends. Though a lot of those people hooked up together. So.
Oh, of course. They had plenty of practice. Sluts.
No, I'm sure when they were fucking off camera, it was fine and easy, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Me personally, I'm not a fan of like videotaping myself engaged in sex acts. I did it recently. I went on vacation with my girlfriend and she was frisky and she was like, baby, record us. And I was, listen, I'm at an all inclusive. It's all you can drink. You know, like that's how drunk I was, you know? So I was like, let's do it. And I made a video and she's like, send it to me. And I was like, I'll send it to you, baby. And I sent it to her and post coitus, we're just chilling in bed and we're hanging out. And she's like, you sure you sent that to me? And I was like, yeah, baby, I sent that to you. She goes, make sure, check your phone. And I look at my phone, and I sent a pornography of her and I to Kevin's uncle.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Who's Kevin, your friend?
What? His co-host.
Oh, no. You were that drunk. You didn't.
So you got invited to the Christmas party after that? Like, already?
I don't think it ever got fully uploaded, but even if it did, I told her, because thankfully we were, you know, in a vacation spot, so the internet stinks there, and it's, you know, it takes a while to upload.
Yeah, super lucky.
But I told her, I said, baby, I said, there couldn't be a better person to send this pornography to, because I know you guys don't know him, but Kevin's uncle is like the world's best dude. He's, you know, he's this Spanish dude from the Bronx. He's from old school New York. He's all about respect and like he would never disrespect. Yeah. You know, like Kevin was like, you know, if he would have just been like, hey, I sent you something by accident, erase it. He'd be like, no prob. I got you, nephew. You know, like that's the kind of guy. There was a million people on my phone that could have ruined my life and hers.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's like a nightmare status.
That's why I don't record myself ejaculating, man.
Yeah. Now people do that here to OnlyFans, right? Now it's a way to make money. Like you could have a 9-to-5 and then on the weekends run an OnlyFans account, and that's how you make your funds. I like the screens for that way. take a screenshot of that.
He's just disgusted by what you've said.
There you go. Oh, damn it.
I'm here. I didn't hear what you said. We lost service.
You heard of OnlyFans?
Yes, I've heard of OnlyFans.
Yeah, I know a couple of people that do pretty well on there. Like $3,000 extra a month, some $2,000 a week. It's like, oh, okay.
But they keep, I think, like 40% of your money.
Yeah. You have to really make a lot of content to make.
Why not just have your own website at that point?
That's what I'm saying, man.
Well, they put it out for you. They do all the like advertising. And...
No, they promote the product.
I'm like, that's a lot of money.
40%. I haven't paid for pornography since I think, other than the accidental authorization, since I'm like 12 years old.
You slipped?
Yeah, since I slipped. Pornography, I don't know how anyone pays for pornography. Pornography is free. It's all over the internet. How long does it take you to bust a nut?
Yeah.
You know?
People pay, though. It's weird. People, something about, I think, with the OnlyFans, it's because they know the person, you know, a little more intimately. To me, it's like horrifying that I have friends that I know. I mean, the way I see friends is like they're Ken dolls. They have like a, you know, smooth part.
Yeah.
I don't view them as sexual because they're friends, you know?
So, no.
I mean, I don't view them like that.
I don't view them like, you know what I mean? I don't like to think about them that way.
Listen, if you have a friend and they're attractive,
yeah,
attracted to them, it's not just a friend. This is somebody that you're sexually thinking about.
And I know,
you're
not, what I'm saying overall is they have the Ken doll thing going on.
It's not, you're lying. You're lying to yourself. You're lying to your genitals.
I'm saying the friends that are attractive, yes. It's becoming a site like a therapy session for Louise. It's repression. I like that. I don't know.
That's what they do with the Mac Almanac.
What's the Mac Almanac?
The Mac Almanac is my podcast. That's where we help men like you face the truth.
I want to hear more about this roasting thing. That I would never want to go up against comedians in a roast. That sounds terrifying.
It's the worst feeling in the world. It's awful.
Is it improvised?
No. We set the battles up. Most of the people are comics that we perform with, that we're friends with. We try to match it up, not really evenly because everybody's talented, but like based off of people's energy. You know, like we want, you know, like it's funny if you put like a very, you know, like, you know, calm person versus someone who's like off the fucking handle. Just to like a.
You can't put Oscar De La Hoya in the ring with George Foreman.
You can if he's wearing sexy lingerie.
There you go.
That's
terrifying. Yeah.
So listen, if you ever decided to roast, I'll put you in a roast battle. I'll write your jokes for you. You just got to say them.
Awesome. Yeah, it's all about the delivery too. Like I'm a big fan of the Comedy Central roast, and Situation went up there with jokes written for him, but he couldn't. The timing
couldn't deliver it. Yeah,
they ate him alive.
There's so many aspects that go into a roast battle. So like, first of all, you're gonna get up there, you're gonna get judged automatically based off the way you look. You know, if it's if what people would consider an unfair battle. So like, sometimes I'll go in and I'm always the bad guy because I'm like, I'm tall, I'm what people think is white, but I'm not, I'm a Jew. You know, they'll think I'm some fucking jock, you know, because I'm, you know, not giant and fat, but I used to be fat, so like I get a fat card, you know, and they'll automatically have an opinion based on you. So like it's a little off kilter. So of course the writing, how funny the jokes are, how bad they sting, that's very important. But of course it's also like what your persona is, how you deliver it, how you receive a joke is a lot of it. So like if someone says some shit that cuts you to the like gut, you know, you have to react to that correctly. You know, you can't pretend like it didn't happen or it didn't hurt. I'm sorry, go ahead.
People on stage at the same time then?
Yes.
Oh, that's so much better.
Yes. It's tit for tat. So it goes joke for joke. Three rounds, joke for joke, and then 60 se- 60 seconds unlimited. So like if you saved some jokes from the beginning rounds, you have 60 seconds to say all the shit that you want to about this person.
Unload, yeah.
So the one new thing that we have, I came up with this idea, it's the wild card. So basically, when I've been in roast battles, because I battle myself, this one coming up, I'm going to be on the judge panel. But in previous roast battles, you go up there, and then you get judged by these guys, and they rip you an asshole, and they make you look like the biggest dork in the world. Much worse than even what the fucking roast you just went through, even if you got your ass handed to you, it's a roast battle. It's expected. But then you get these judges, like, smearing your face in the shit. So, and me, I talk back. You're not supposed to, like, talk back to the judges. I don't give a fuck. I'll roast them back when I'm standing there, but, like, it doesn't do anything for you in terms of winning anything. All right. So I came up with this idea that you can now, if you're battling and you lose, let's say they vote, it's four judges, you get, it's two votes versus two votes. You can challenge the judge who voted against you. You can challenge them with the wild card. And basically what the wild card is, you versus the judge, one joke. You say one joke, the judge says one joke, and the audience decides who won that. And with that, you can turn a tie into a win, a loss into a tie, and ruin someone's day.
I like that
too. Are these on YouTube at all?
They're not. These haven't been yet. I've done Comedy Fight Club, which you can find that on YouTube. And shout out Matt Maron also, who I do Comedy Fight Club. Done it many times. Awesome. Okay. Awesome roast battles. You can find them on YouTube at Comedy Fight Club, I think. Is roast beef going to be on the net? I don't know, man. We say some really fucked up shit there. You know, I got to see what these comics think, because, like, it's really no holds barred. You know, before the battle, the comics talk to each other, and they're like, is there anything off limits? And most comics are like, anything goes. So I've heard, like, I saw a roast battle end really badly. Not just the battle, the entire show. When somebody made a joke about a woman's dead husband.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah. And then blamed it on me. He said that I told him that he should go for it.
Oh, that is not fun at all.
But okay. I promise you, this one is not going to be like that. It's going to be fantastic.
Nice. So where can people follow you? Are you on Twitter, Instagram?
Yeah.
Socials?
I'm everywhere, baby. I'm on Twitter at Joshua Paled, JOSHUAPALED. Same for Instagram. And yeah, that's where you can find me. And follow the Mac Almanac, TheMacAlmanac.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for livening up our show. This was a good laugh, and I learned a lot. I learned a lot about myself in this episode. I learned a lot about, it's nice hearing another perspective from someone from New York, too. This is great.
Well, if you're ever in New York City, please come by the Mac Almanac, and we'll tell you in person what you're doing wrong.
Perfect. All right, any other thoughts?
No.
Cool.
Let me just say thank you to you guys. You guys are awesome. This is awesome. I love talking about television. I was raised by a television. I'll be back anytime. I love you guys. I hope I see you guys soon, man.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have a good evening. Take care.
TV time machine.